You know, we see a lot of Lyme cases out here in Middle Tennessee, but unfortunately, we see a ton of mistreated Lyme cases as well. And I know, Dr. Mark, you see this all the time, probably down in Florida as well, where Lyme cases have come in and they've got practitioners who just want to focus on kill, kill, kill. Or even the patients, you know, that's their biggest question is what's the right antibiotic cocktail for Lyme, or what's the herbal blend that's going to really kill the Lyme disease? Do you see a ton of that?
Yeah, and in the Western model, you know, the standard of care really hasn't changed much. The antibiotics have evolved, but there is a antibiotic-only treatment protocol for Lyme, it seems like. And then what do you do with the chronic Lyme patients, the ones that doesn't take care of the infection for life?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think guys like us, that's pretty much mostly what we see is the cases who become chronic, you know, more than 3 months, sometimes more than 3 to 5 years. And at that point, do you really need to focus on how do I better kill the Lyme? And in my experience, the answer is that's the wrong question, right? They're looking at it the wrong way because that kill, 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 it's what I call the scorched earth policy. Like in warfare, it says, hey, let's nuke everything and then see what's left over. And unfortunately, what's left over for most of these patients is devastation, right? They've destroyed their gut. A lot of people don't recognize that most antibiotics are mold or fungal based. So if you've got a fungal sensitivity, that's going to mess you up. Or some of the like have sulfa sensitivity, sulfur issues, and so the sulfa drugs are hard on them. That's a big issue we see. But really, it's this effect of like, let's just so narrow focus on killing these bugs that we miss why are the bugs there in the first place? What has allowed these bugs to take over the body so that you have to focus so much on kill, kill, kill? It's the wrong question. And so we've got to shift that focus. And I know you guys do that down there as well, is shift the focus of what's really going on in the system, what's allowing this to overgrow. And you could blast the snot out of it if you want to, but you're never going to answer that question if that's what you focus on.
That's why this video is so important, because I think we are much more likely to retrain the healthcare consumer than we are the establishment, because the establishment helps some people. You do an acute infection, an acute treatment, and that does work for some people. But like you
Yeah.
said, it's not restoring them to their original state. It's not restoring their health. It's scorching the earth. Similar to chemotherapy, I think.
Yeah.
You've got to poison the whole body when you're poisoning the tumor. Radiation would be similar. There's a lot of collateral damage. So it's a little what we've talked about in other videos about the whole terrain theory versus germ theory, which I think we have a little bit more of a hybrid there. But like
Yeah.
you said, the Lyme, the Borrelia can actually store in the body and reactivate, just like we see lots of viruses reactivate. I never think there's enough conversation or dialogue about this, because it is shingles is not normal. You should have,
No.
you should, your immune system didn't forget how to beat chickenpox. We call it a different name when you have a reinfection of the varicella virus, but EBV, we see ton of this with Lyme. We see
Yeah.
reactivation of EBV. My favorite question in life, but especially since I got into medicine, as you know, is why? Why are we doing the treatment? Why do I have the infection? Why do I have this illness? Why can't I restore my original wisdom, innate wisdom of my physiology? So killing Lyme clearly is very, very tip of a much bigger iceberg. So what do you do to help kill Lyme that's different than an infectious disease doctor? Not just because you have a lot more experience with Lyme up there, but the difference in the philosophies and the approach.
Yeah, for sure. So you talked a little about terrain theory. And of course, germs exist. We can see them under microscopes. You can see the bacteria and things like that. And so you have a melding approach. And that's really my background is biological medicine or bioregulatory medicine. And so that approach says, look, let's look at the whole body, but not just the whole body, but the whole person. Okay. And then we're going to see every system that's out of balance. Okay. We want to know every pathway, every system, every organ, tissue, et cetera, that may be out of balance is contributing to a state that allows Lyme to overgrow, allows EBV to reactivate, allows toxicity to be present, et cetera. And then we have to find ways to restore that. The key in my mind, which is also partially why we named the clinic the Keystone, partially that's because you want to have the right orientation, but the Keystone is that one little thing that holds everything else together. And so when you look at a person's case like that, and you say, okay, you've got these imbalances here, you've got these systems that are dysfunctional there, and they're contributing to your Lyme disease. Okay, but how does that all fit together into one keystone? How does that fit into one lowest common denominator that's really driving this whole thing? And so when you do that then, and you start to address those other issues, all of a sudden, will you still maybe have to do antimicrobials? Probably, sometimes, but you need a lot less. Yeah, and it's way more focused and way more effective because now you've set the stage to eradicate that. It's still on some degree a war mentality, but now we're looking at Sun Tzu like the art of war, and we're saying, how can we set up the battlefield in a way that makes it work for us? How can we negotiate ahead of time that allows the system to work better? So do we have the detoxification and drainage channels up and running? And I want to ask you about heavy metals in a second, because that's so key on that step too. How do you make sure the biofilms, you're dealing with the biofilms? Are you dealing with digestion? Because so much of your immune system, most of your immune system is in the gut, right? And so are you dealing with that? And another specialty on your end is what's the neuroemotional state? Because that affects immunity, right? If that's stressed or if it's got trauma or whatever, your immune system's going to be suppressed. And so are you dealing with those things so you can set the stage to then deal with a Lyme effectively, not have to scorch the earth?
Yeah.
So tell me a little about how you deal with that, like on that front with some of those aspects.
Well, that's why I kind of think of it as a hybrid molecule, because on one hand, I think people generally understand, and we, like you said, there's a lot of evidence in germ theory. I think bacteria are the simplest demonstration of that. Prion, viruses, there seems to be a little bit more controversy there. But we know there's infections agents, but we also know that they can't infect something that's not compatible or fertile. And that goes more towards what we've spoken about before with Beecham and terrain theory, because a different set of weeds will grow on a sandy beach than it will in organic topsoil in your front yard. So our physiology, people inherently know, like, hey, if I drink alcohol, if I go out and, you know, get a big bender, I'm more likely to get a cold the following day because I've stunned my immune system. So I don't think it's a real argument versus terrain versus a germ or science versus religion. I tend to try to always marry these two opposed. Maybe I should have been a judge or something like that. but I enjoy thinking about that because Lyme is enigmatic, I think, for the Western world. It's something that's controversial. It's something that we don't really feel comfortable talking about outside of what's been done historically, similarly, since antibiotics were invented. So yeah, I'm all about the detox pathways, but most important, why did I get my immune system? Why can't my immune system itself keep this at bay?
Yeah.
And then that's the inflection point or the pressure point you were talking about. Then the other treatment, whether that's more allopathic or even a short course of antibiotic, you've got an exit strategy, you've got an approach, you've got time to detox and clear detox pathways, you've got time to build more of a fertile soil or replace or restore the gut if, you know, there is collateral damage from an antibiotic.
Yeah,
that's probably what I do differently. I also counsel people on the intention. So some people are like, I hate taking antibiotics. That antibiotic will work differently than if you bless it and you know, for it nourishing and strengthening your body. So you're accepting that chemical onto your biology and thought and consciousness. We know direct matter. We know they direct physiology. We know they direct healing. It's just not something Western medicine's terribly akin to because it's not easily, you know, taken out of the body and measured in a lab type of things. But I'm curious, how do you treat acute Lyme, you know, with all this in mind, how do you treat acute Lyme differently than a chronic Lyme patient? So like, let's say someone comes to you and says, oh my gosh, I was camping and I got bit and I've got this bullseye rash here, versus someone that 2, 4, 10 years out is wasting away from chronic Lyme. What's the difference?
Yeah, so the difference shifts, right? The order of operations do shift at that point, because at that point you want to be swift and strategic. And so usually I do a fairly strong antimicrobial herbal blend at that, because we do know, you know, at that point, a bacterial injection point's happened, right? That tick's put a load of microbes in there. So we want to batten that down at the same time, a very strong anti-inflammatory blend of herbs. So that might look like a high dose of Skullcap or Cordyceps on that front, maybe with a high dose of fish oil, and then some antimicrobial and kind of anti-tick-borne type microbes. That might be like Japanese knotweed, Cryptolepis, maybe some nanoparticle silver, things like that, hitting both internally and topically. Typically, if I can catch someone really quickly, that's like 14 days. It doesn't need to be much because it's so quick and strategic on that point. What do we know is exactly antispirochetal? Are we lowering that inflammatory cascade it's going to cause? And the herbs, they're going to help stop the Lyme from morphing and creating biofilms very quickly. So the difference between reason why you want to be strategic with antibiotics, especially, is because the second those hit the bloodstream, those microbes, especially Lyme, is already morphing. It's already changing in relation to that presence of that antibiotic. They don't do that as much with herbs because of the effect, like the mechanism of action is different with herbs. But if you're going to use antibiotics at that time, I'm not opposed to it, but if you're going to use antibiotics at that time frame very early, I would say be strategic. You know, there's a couple that we know are antimicrobial. And of course, this is not medical advice. This is totally informational purposes only. But you would want to mix it with some sort of biofilm buster, like a proteolytic enzyme or NAC, because what's going to happen is the second they detect that antibiotic, they're going to start forming biofilms. And studies show that taking a protease or NAC with that antibiotic increases effectiveness sometimes 1,000%, because they can't form that biofilm at that point. They can't form their defenses as quickly. And that's being strategic and swift.
Yeah, that's shooting fish in a barrel at that point. That's a much better option than pulling prey with an antibiotic.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Dr. Hart, thank you for your time and your wisdom on this topic. Join us next week.
Take care, guys.